This evening's reading can be found on page 548. So that's page 548, and I'll be reading Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me.
Phoebe, thanks for reading to us tonight. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into God's word together. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us all here this evening. Thank you that we can be here together to worship you and look at your word. I pray that you'd be speaking to us tonight through your word. Please would you help us to focus, and I pray that you'd be helping me to speak clearly, truthfully, and faithfully. Amen. Well, let me add my welcome. Welcome to St. Peter's. If you don't know me, my name is Josh, and I'm one of the staff members here. You should have on your tables a copy of the Summer Psalms handout. And on there, there's space for you to make some notes if it's going to help you focus. And also, we'll be doing a Q&A session later on. So if you do have any questions about any of the things that I'm saying this evening, jot them down, and then you can ask me later. As we start, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you suffered? Really suffered? For some of us here, the kind of suffering that's in this passage is something we're going through right now. It's a reality. For some of us, it can be suffering that we've gone through recently, and maybe it still weighs on you. Maybe some people would say that they haven't really suffered yet, but it's likely that you will. In fact, the reason this psalm is in the Bible is because you will face painful suffering in your life, and when you do, you need to know where and who to turn to. Now, perhaps you're sitting there wondering what a 23-year-old living in Fulham could possibly have to share about suffering. What could I know about it? I'm young. I'm healthy, I'm doing a job that I love. What qualifies me to stand here and talk to you about suffering? Well, I'm not just giving my earthly wisdom on the subject. I'm going through what the Bible has to say on suffering, and I'm sharing that with you. At St. Peter's, we believe that God speaks through his word, through the Bible. So when we read the Bible, we're not just reading the human author's earthly wisdom on the subject. We're reading about what God has to say on the subject. So don't be fooled or put off by my youth. The things that I'm saying this evening are true, and they come from God himself. I'm young, yes, but I'm showing us what God has to say on the issue of real suffering. I'm not just giving my two pennies worth. So you may think, you know, well, that's all well and good. But in practice, if you haven't suffered, you don't know how hard it can be. Well, I'd agree with you. It would be strange for me to stand here and tell you how to deal with suffering practically in the context of this psalm if I hadn't been through it myself. Now, don't get me wrong. I've got no intention of turning this into a competition of who suffered more. But I have suffered. Physically and emotionally, I've tasted it. I know what it feels like. I've suffered the physical pain of recovering from having a defibrillator implanted in my chest after a cardiac arrest. On a trip to Nepal last year, I suffered the emotional pain of hearing from girls who are younger than some of the children that go through to our Sunday school groups about how they had been orphaned by an earthquake and then subsequently sold into the sex trade. When I was experiencing these things, I couldn't help but ask, how long is this suffering going to continue? Well, that brings us to our first point, and it's one of the first things you can write down on your handout. It's this: cry out to the Lord in your suffering. Have a look at verse 1 of Psalm 13 with me. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Now, King David, who wrote this psalm, is crying out to the Lord. He's not hiding his pain and his frustration from the Lord. He's calling out to him in anguish. Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? He feels abandoned by God, forgotten and cast aside. David can't bear whatever it is that's causing him so much pain. In the first two verses of this psalm, he cries out, "How long, Lord?" four times. Look at the language of verse 2. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? David's suffering is drawn out. It's daily. It's never ending. You can hear the pain in his voice in this passage, can't you? It sounds hopeless. Well, this is the kind of suffering that doesn't just go away and get better. And perhaps you've felt this kind of pain. Maybe if you've lost a loved one, or if you have a chronic illness. Maybe it's money troubles or family troubles that are on your mind every day, and it makes it hard to focus on anything else. How long, Lord, are you going to let me suffer like this? I feel like we often can't come to God in this way. That's what we feel. We feel like we can't come to him. We can't come to him and plead with him and want to know how long our suffering is going to last. But I want to encourage us that that's not true at all. The psalm is in the Bible because God is literally giving us the words to say in times of suffering. He wants us to come to him with these words. Have a look at the top of the passage. This psalm is written for the director of music. It's a song. It's meant to be sung at the top of our lungs to the Lord. Why would God want us to cry out to him in this way in our suffering? Why? It's because he wants a relationship with us. Think of a relationship that you treasure. Maybe it's with a parent or a partner. Maybe it's a child or a close friend. You want that person to feel like they can come to you, especially when they're suffering. God wants a relationship with us. So he's given us the words to say when we're in pain and we're moved to cry out in frustration. And that's great news for us. We worship a God who treasures his relationship with us. And he doesn't only want us to come to him. He wants us to come to him when we're in pain. And he gives us the words to say when we don't even know how to express that pain. So if you're suffering now, cry out to the Lord. He wants you to come to him and put your burden on him. And if you're not suffering yet, you will. And when you do, remember this, come to Psalm 13 and cry out to the Lord. If the first two verses are about crying out to the Lord, it can look like the spiritual equivalent of screaming into a pillow or just going to town on a punching bag. Come to the Lord and scream. Well, the next section of the passage is calling us to ask God for understanding of our suffering. And that's our next point. Cry out to the Lord for understanding. Now, let me be clear. I'm not just saying that we should only come to the Lord as a last resort when all else has failed. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we need to come to God desperate to see what he's teaching us in our suffering. Look at verse 3 with me. Look on me and answer, Lord my God, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. You can feel the desperation in David's voice. He feels like he's going to die if he doesn't get an answer from the Lord. Look carefully at what he's saying there. He's not asking God to take the pain away in this section. Have another look at the second half of verse 3. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. He wants to see why he's suffering. If you were here last week, we learned that God brings trouble to teach us something of his character, not to punish. David is desperate to know what God is teaching him and to see more of God through his suffering. Verse 4 explains to us why he's so desperate to know. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. David knows that he can't face this suffering alone. He needs God to show him what he's being taught. We know this because he talks about being defeated by his enemies and his foes rejoicing at his defeat. For David, his enemies are real people that were actually trying to kill him, and that's the cause of his suffering in verse 2. How long will my enemy triumph over me? Now, we may not have physical enemies who are actually trying to kill us, but if you're suffering now, you know what it feels like to feel like whatever is causing your suffering is going to overcome you. You feel like you can't escape. David is showing us that if we don't come to the Lord and ask for his help in these times, we'll be defeated. God is the only one that can give light to our eyes. And if we don't come to him for that, there's only one outcome: defeat. We can't rely on our own strengths to get us through our season of suffering. And again, David isn't asking God to take the pain away. And that's important because we know all too well that God may not take the pain away. I've experienced this in my own life. Since the cardiac arrest, I've had to deal with the fact that I can't run without intense chest pain. I've had to deal with the fact that I can't join in with sports like football or rugby without risking having another cardiac arrest in front of people. And that's happened twice at my time at St. Peter's. I have to deal with the pain of the wires in my chest being pulled in the wrong direction if I lift something in the wrong way. These things make me feel weak. And they make me worry about people looking at me like I'm fragile. If I don't turn to God regularly to cry out in my suffering and to look for an answer as to what I'm being taught, I'll be overcome for sure. Because the truth is, I am weak. I can't rely on my own strength. But I can cry out to my Heavenly Father. I can cry out to him for an answer. What are you teaching me of yourself in all this? And he is teaching me. I've grown closer to the Lord, and I've learned to lean on him. I've seen how he's been acting in my life by the fact that I survived the first cardiac arrest in the first place. God hasn't taken my suffering away, but he has been teaching me through it. In Psalm 13, David isn't asking God to remove the suffering, but he is desperate for God to teach him in it. And for us, that means we need to cry out to God for understanding of what he's teaching us. That understanding may not come instantly. It took me a few years to understand what God has taught me from my first cardiac arrest. Don't be discouraged if it takes time to understand what God is teaching you. Keep crying out to him. The suffering may not go away, but we will grow closer to God because of it. And that is a wonderful thing. Now, it's all well and good standing here and telling you to trust in the Lord and ask for his help. But in the middle of a storm of suffering, when you feel like you've been abandoned by God, how can you be sure that any help or guidance is going to come from him? Well, that is our last point, and it's the last section of this psalm. Cry out to the Lord in rejoicing. After showing us clearly that he's going through some serious stuff, David bizarrely moves to sing the Lord's praises. And it's not something we're moved to do when we feel like everything is being taken from us. We don't feel like praising God when he takes a loved one from us. We don't feel like praising God when we hear about children being sold into the sex trade. We don't feel like praising God when we're on the verge of losing our home. But David does. In verses 5 to 6, he says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." How can we possibly sing God's praise when we're suffering? How can we be sure that God is going to help us see a reason for our suffering? We can be sure because we worship a God whose love for us is unfailing. We worship a God who has bought us salvation and had to sacrifice himself to do it. Have another look at verse 5. "My heart rejoices in your salvation." David isn't rejoicing in all the things that are causing him to suffer. And I'm not standing here telling you to be thankful for the pain that you're in. That would be perverse. God gets no joy from our suffering. No, David rejoices in the salvation that God has won for him. "I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." There is an understatement, if ever there was one. Never forget what God has done for us. He gave his son so that we can enjoy life with him forever. God paid the ultimate price so that on the final day, we'll be brought out of this world of suffering and into a place where we'll never suffer again. That's what David is rejoicing in. And if you're a Christian here today, no amount of suffering is ever going to change that fact. You're saved because of Jesus' death and resurrection, and you can look forward to spending an eternity free from whatever it is that you're facing right now. If you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, let me urge you to ask yourself before you leave this building, is that something you want? Do you want to be free from suffering and be with someone who loves you enough to die for you and buy you that freedom? And if not, why not? Don't shy away from the question. Have a think about it. In the midst of suffering, how can you be sure that God will help you see what he is trying to teach you about himself? How can you be sure that he's right there with you in your suffering and that he hasn't forgotten you or hidden his face from you? You remember who you are. You're a child of a God who wants you to cry out to him in your pain and in your suffering. You're a child of a God who bought you salvation with the death of his son. He's been good to you. And his love is unfailing. He's not going to leave you to suffer alone. Remember that God has already saved you from suffering beyond imagination, an eternity of suffering and pain, an eternity without him. If he can save you from that, he can certainly help you with whatever it is that you're facing now. Now, that may be easier said than done. I understand that. It's not an easy thing to stop and remember all of these truths of God when we're suffering. But that's why it's written here in Psalm 13. We won't always have the words to express the pain that we're in. So let me encourage you, the next time you're suffering, or even now as you suffer, turn to Psalm 13 and read these words out loud if you need to. Come to him. Cry out to him. That's why the psalm is here. He's given you the words to cry out to him in your suffering, for understanding and in rejoicing. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you are a God who wants a relationship with us. Thank you that we can come to you in our suffering and in our pain and in our frustration. Thank you that we can cry out to you. And Lord, please would you help us when we're suffering to stop and ask what it is that you're teaching us. And I pray that you'd give light to our eyes so that we can see that. And Lord, please would you help us to remember what you've done for us. Help us to remember that you are a God who has given us salvation. And I pray that you'd help us to rejoice in that, even in our suffering. Amen.